talking about spiritual growth. And in order to try to capture attention, we do a lot of different things. And so in our bulletin article, it's entitled, Ah, Grow Up. You know, so that's interesting. If you haven't read that, you ought to. The title may be the most interesting part of that article, but I think there's some good content as well. There was a comedian years ago, I think she still exists, but I think her and her daughter do some things, but many years ago, I remember Joan Rivers, and I don't know a lot of, I'm not endorsing her or anything, I just remember once or twice catching a little routine that she would do, and I think she prided herself on knowing facts about people that others didn't know, and sort of like what women might refer to as gossiping or something like that. And so sometimes she would say something funny about somebody, and then apparently her audience would look at her, and then she would say, oh, grow up, you know, grow up. And so that's a great statement. And so sometimes people say that. They say that just maybe teasingly to others, like grow up. And probably that's something that's said in terms of maturity. You know, you need to be more mature about things. And all of us have been told that probably one time or another, or need to be. But there's another way you can apply it, and that is talking about growing spiritually. And that's how we want to look at it this morning, as far as spiritual growth is concerned. Now, when you think in terms of spiritual growth as a Christian, this, first of all, is a choice. You have to choose whether or not you want to grow spiritually. You might say, well, no, now, if God commanded it, you don't have a choice. Well, no, you do anyway. There's a lot of things God has commanded, and people choose not to do it. People choose not to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, even though God commanded it. People choose not to give, and even though God commanded it. And people choose not to obey the gospel, even though God commanded it. So you do have to make your own choice about things. And so even though the Bible teaches us to grow, that's still something I have to decide, yes, this is what I want to do. I want to grow spiritually. I want to be a stronger Christian, a more devout Christian. And there are some commands centered around that. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and you began there with verse 5, you talk there about the different virtues that are given that are all familiar to us. It's interesting that Peter wrote these things through the Holy Spirit's inspiration, because Peter was one who needed to grow a lot in his life. We first meet him, and he sees Jesus, and he says, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. That's a good start. He's a fisherman, and Jesus says, I'll make you a fisher of men. And then later you see him saying great things like, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's good. And then you also see him as the same one who takes a sword and cuts a soldier's ear off, Malchus. And so that's not good. He did real well at Pentecost, spoke the first gospel sermon. That's great. Later on, he has to be rebuked by the Apostle Paul because, once again, he got caught up in some Jewish prejudice and wasn't really kind toward Gentile people. That's not good. But then toward the end of his life, he gives his life wholeheartedly to God. Now, Jesus said, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren, so you knew he was going to come back and be strong. And so, according to what we read in secular history, he was crucified and even crucified head downward because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. Now, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? And so he was a man who wrote these words. And he said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity or love. And if you notice what he did, there's kind of a form of internal repetition going on with this particular passage. And that's done on purpose. Everything's done on purpose. Every word in God's Word is put there for a purpose. When people were reading verses such as this, they might only have a chance to read it one time or hear it one time. Someone presents it in a synagogue or in a worship service later on, and they listen to these words. And so in order to get them to hear them, you put a lot of lists together, and sometimes you'll do some repetition. So you notice what he did there. You got your virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience. So you're having every one of those thrown at you two different times, so there's a greater chance of retention like that. And all of it is centered around growth. And he tells us to do that with diligence, and we'll talk about diligence later on. But the very last verse that he gives in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, the last words he's going to write, and you should pay attention to the last words a man says. He said, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So once again, you have a command. Now, those aren't the only ones. Those are just examples of some. Now, with most people, when it comes to living the Christian life, I would say, and I think I'm not being out of line by saying this, there's probably an accelerated growth when you first obey the gospel. That's probably true. And you can just kind of see yourself learning new things, grasping new ideas and concepts, and so that tends to happen. And then as you get older, then that gets less and less, but yet there still should be growth, and there should be spiritual growth throughout the remainder of your life. And there's times when you feel like you're really growing. There's times you may feel like you're receding, but then you grow more, and then hopefully what you're doing right now as a Christian, you're the best you've ever been. That's our hope. And if you're not, then of course there's a problem along that line that has to be addressed somehow in our life. People who lift weights will notice that as they lift weights. Let's say a linebacker decides he's going to do better on bench pressing. And boy, he starts out working with that program, and he starts lifting and starts out with easy weights of 250, and then he starts moving up to 275 and 280, and boy, they're just popping right along. He's getting 325 now. Well, it's a little tougher, though, 340, 345, 350, because he's getting closer to his maximal potential. Everybody has a maximal potential. Everyone has a maximal potential spiritually as far as our growth is concerned. God only knows what that is. I don't know what mine is. But I hope I'm not there yet. I hope that I'm growing and that I'm doing better as I live the Christian life. And I want to be better this time next year than I am now. I want to be growing. Wouldn't it be sad if I interviewed anyone here today and you could honestly say, no, I'm about where I want to be. I'm satisfied. I really don't want to grow anymore. I would hope no one here would say that. Well, here's a deadly thing associated with that. If I'm not growing, I'm dying, because that's the way Christianity is set up. Because Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he that's not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters abroad. You know, either I'm for him all the way, or else I'm slipping back. If you look at Pontius Pilate, he decided he would try to be neutral with Christ. It won't work. If you're neutral with Christ, you're against Christ. And so if you say, I'm where I want to be, I'm pretty much satisfied, then you're slipping backward. And so we never want that to be in our life. So I'm going to assume that all of us here this morning are saying, I want to grow more spiritually. This is not an insult to anyone. Back a few weeks ago, I presented a lesson, Support Your Local Church, and that was mainly centered around attendance, but also centered around the idea of what can I do to fit in. And so I'll touch on that a little bit this morning. But this lesson this morning, we strictly want to talk about growing spiritually, and what I can do to accomplish a thing along that line. So we want to grow spiritually. I'm also reminded of Hebrews 2:1, where we're told that we should give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. Now that goes back to Hebrews 1, and there you talk about Jesus' superiority to the angels, and I need to be aware of that, and also to the gospel and all that, because if I don't, I could drift away. So I don't want to drift away. Drift away. People don't usually just jump away. They drift away from the Lord. So I don't want that to happen to me. I want to be a faithful, strong Christian. Now, to do that, we need to set goals in our life. People set goals for all sorts of things, don't they? People have financial goals. You have individuals who say, we would like to save this much money so we can have a down payment for our house. A young married couple does that, and so they set aside money and they try to have a down payment. And their goal is, after we've been married 5 years, why don't we try to buy our own house? Okay, let's try to do that. Some families may do that. Or they have a goal that says, I don't ever want to have to go out and borrow money for a car. I'm just going to save enough money so I can go out and buy a car and with cash, you know. That's a goal that people may have. Academically, you know, in my college, let's say maybe I had a 3.3. Well, that's not bad. I want to have a 4.0, and that's what I want to do. I'm not going to be happy with anything other than that. That's my goal. How will I accomplish that goal? Need to lose a little weight. So what will I do? Well, I can exercise more or eat less or something along that line. So what can I do to accomplish that goal? What program can I get involved in that will help me do that very thing? And so goals in our lives, that's something I think we all live with. So the same thing should apply spiritually. What can I do as far as spiritual goals are concerned? Now, I think we should bring out just at the very outset of a lesson like this, and I promise you the little points that we have are very brief in nature. But there's four things that are vital to our growth as a Christian. They almost parallel with what we have in regular life. Or, for example, it's real important for you as a person to eat, wouldn't you say? Of course it is. You know, you need to eat. If you don't eat, then you're going to get in trouble health-wise. One of the saddest things we hear of is someone who has gotten to the point in their life that we can't get them to eat anything at all. And we watch them deteriorate, and it's a sad situation. So you have to eat. Spiritually, we have to eat, and of course, that's the consumption of God's Word. Jesus said the same thing, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4. And so we know that's important. That's vital for us. We've got to do that. And we have to partake of God's Word then, spiritually speaking. We need to study God's Word. That's going to help me grow. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. Another thing we need as human beings is rest. If you don't get rest, it breaks you down. Everybody needs rest. And individuals who just continually are running at full tilt and they never stop to rest any are probably headed for some kind of illness at some point in their life. Spiritually speaking, rest for us means prayer, talking to God. That's one of the most restful things you can ever do. Thus we're told, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Well, we also need some fellowship, don't we? So we need socialization, and fellowship is so important. Let me go ahead and advertise right now that on the last Saturday nights of the month, we're having singings in different homes of members, and that is just great. We would love for you to be a part of something like that. We had a great time at Charlie and Patricia's last night, and all kinds of good fellowship and singing and food and everything. Just had a big time, and so we enjoyed that. But we need all kinds of things like that where we can have fellowship together. And that's important for us, socialization type thing. And then you need exercise. Everyone should exercise. You should do something, you know, walking or something like that. It's good for the human body to do that. Well, when it comes to our exercise, that means trying to do what I can to lead somebody to Christ. Now, it's easy to say, well, a lot of people don't want to come to Christ. I know that. I know that's true. But every day, if I can, if we can talk to somebody about coming to church, if we can invite them to be a part of some fellowship we have going on, if I can do something along that line, those are important things. And all of that kind of fits in to what we're talking about this morning to a great extent. But what do I want as my goals in my life? Along that line, those are some things, a lot of those I'll have to set on my own. What, how much Bible reading I'm going to do, what I'm going to do with evangelism, what I'm going to do with prayer, what I'm going to do with fellowship, things along that line. But then those are divided into three different areas we want to focus in on briefly this morning. First of all, behavioral goals. And these serve as a backdrop for our lesson. Behavioral goals sounds like, how do I want to behave? What would be your goal as a Christian as far as how you want to behave? I bet every one of us would come out of this room saying the same thing. I'd like to behave like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Have you ever done something in your life and you look at what you did and you think, you know, that was pretty good. I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I made that choice or said that thing. And then it dawns on you, wait a minute, that really wasn't me that much doing that. That was Christ living in me. I feel like that He's the one who deserves the glory. Maybe you turned away from someone instead of being angry at them. You didn't retort back in anger, but you said something kind to them. You prayed for them instead. Maybe there was a situation where someone left you out of something, but instead of getting angry about that and upset, you just had a prayer and had a devotional. And then you think, you know, that looks like something that Jesus would do. That's our goal, is to be like Jesus. Is it practical to want to be like Jesus? At first, I want to say, that's impossible. He is way out of my league, and He is out of my league. But on the other hand, it is exactly what Jesus expects of us. There are different passages that deal with that. One of those is found in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. Luke 6 and verse 40. This is a passage we don't turn to a whole lot, but it's a good one. Jesus said, everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Makes sense, doesn't it? Some people have called here over the last several months wanting to give us money, hurricane relief money. But to do that, before they do it, a lot of times they want to kind of find out what kind of congregation we are. And so they will say things along the line of, do you identify more with this particular school or with this particular school? Would you identify more with this particular speaker or this particular speaker? And what they are doing is trying to get an idea of where we stand. Now, why would they say that? Because there's a real good chance when it comes to a school of preaching or a Christian university, I may come out of that school thinking a lot like that school thinks, because I get a lot of those instructors teaching me the way they think about different things, and so I may be a lot like that. So it makes sense. So your teacher can help determine what the student is like, just like parents help determine to a great extent what children are like. Now, I'm intimidated by Jesus to some extent, and you are too, probably, although he doesn't put that kind of pressure on us. But don't you think it would be intimidating to walk with Jesus every day and talk with him every day like those disciples did? But they didn't seem to be intimidated, did they? I wonder why. I believe it was because of the way Jesus was. I just think he was such an easy person to be around that he comforted and he made them relaxed all the time, even though he challenged them all the time. And so he said, I expect you, now am I reading this right? He says, I expect you to be like me. Well, if he says, I expect you to be like me, Luke 6, verse 40, does he expect the same thing out of me today? He does. So I'm not preaching this at you. I'm preaching it toward all of us, that I need that and you need that. No one here has arrived at where you need to be spiritually. Am I right about that? Could we all agree? If we can't all agree with that, then you don't need a lesson like this. You need to be up here preaching. And Jesus is who we need to have preaching for us this morning, actually, because he's the only one who's arrived, right? And so we all need that. We all need to grow spiritually. And I want to be like Jesus. We sing about him, more and more like Jesus, more about Jesus, would I know? And there's verses in the Bible that teaches us about that. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So that's part of it. I want you to teach all things I've commanded you, which means I want you to help people be equipped so they can be just like me. That's what I'm aiming for. Gets even more personal. Romans 8, 29. There we are challenged that we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Transformed into the same image. Colossians 3, 10. That's Romans 8, 29. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Colossians 3, 10. Renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created Him. Now, Him who created Him doesn't mean like God creating Jesus, but Him would be the Jesus who created us as the other Him. So we're trying to be a part of that image. The word that is used for image, and just for the sake of studying, I thought I'd look that up again, make sure I had it right. And it is that. It is like a coin being minted, and every one of those coins are going to look alike. So if they minted some brand new nickels last year, I'm thinking all of those are going to look alike. They should look alike, shouldn't they? They're minted from the same type of process. Well, you get it. You know what's going on here, right? You were baptized into Christ, and it's true. You don't come out of the watery grave exactly like Jesus, right? As a little baby, when you're born, you don't look like you do right now, right? Because you mature. But then over a period of time, you start being, you're just like Jesus. People are seeing Christ when they see you. They know they've been with Christ when they've been with you. Is that right? That's exactly what we're striving to do as we live the Christian life, so that when they're seeing me, they're seeing Jesus as time goes by. But they're always going to be able to find some imperfections with me. I realize that. But what they're seeing is a person who is striving more and more all the time to be like our Savior, because we're minted in the same way. We came stamped off the same coin press there, and so we look like Him. Now, that's what caused the church to be so exciting in the first century, because these individuals, these fishermen who had suddenly got to, or were at a point where Peter kind of symbolizes the way all of them felt by saying, I'm going fishing. In other words, I think I'm ready to give up. They are transformed from that into these exciting, dynamic, bold, inspired, powerful, Christ-preaching disciples, and they overwhelm the world. They turn it upside down because of their greatness, with their power, and it's all from the Holy Spirit and from Jesus Christ dwelling in them. And that's what was said of them. You people are turning the world upside down. They were acting just like Jesus, even died like Jesus. And so, is that such a far-fetched goal for me? No, it's not. Let it burn inside your heart. Let it kindle. Let it get inflamed inside your heart. that I'm going to grow and be more like Him, beginning right now. I want to know Him. And 2 Peter 3:18, growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. One thing is you can know facts about Jesus, but we want to know Him personally as we walk and talk with Him day by day. I just want people so much to know about this Jesus. And I think about it sometimes as I'm driving down the streets, and you know, it's just like your whole life becomes like a conversation with the Lord. You're praying to Him, and you're saying, you look at these other people, and they're driving down the streets going who knows where and honking at one another and sometimes saying ugly things to one another, and you think, oh, I wish they knew about Jesus. I wish they could understand about what the Lord can do in your life. And what He can do is He blossoms inside your heart. It means so much to know Him, to be personally involved with Him. And of course, that's to be done with diligence. What does the word diligent mean? Well, probably most of us have a working definition of it. In New Orleans, we could see some real working definition of it last year during Katrina and afterwards. I've talked to many people who told these stories about how at their home it looked like things were okay, the storm had passed, sun was even shining, and then you start seeing the floodwaters coming in. And so you talk about diligence. People were diligently trying to get some things packed up, trying to head on out of there before things got worse. That's diligence right there. It means I'm moving with a zeal, and I'm wanting to get this done and get it done right now. Diligence. I'm adding that to my life with diligence so I can be more like Jesus and behave like Him. That's my behavioral goal. It takes a continual effort. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. One of the things that's frightening to me as a Christian, though, and I have to be aware of this, that if, like I said before, I can go backward instead of forward, and I can get to the point to where I'm no longer having a relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. That's a sad passage, isn't it? Where it talks about those who were once Christians, those individuals now have turned back to the way of the world and become like a dog returned to its own vomit, or a sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Could there be any more vivid illustrations than what Peter uses there in 2 Peter 2:20 through 22? That could happen to me. That could happen to you. Could it happen even to a gospel preacher? One of my closest friends on earth right now is not preaching at all anywhere. He's not even going to church. Yet he was a missionary at one point. It could happen to anybody. I have to be aware of that. Every day. Now, if you look at a powerful passage such as Romans chapter 12, what a wonderful passage that is, where I'm challenged through the mercies of the living God to present my body as a living sacrifice. I want you to notice something about that living sacrifice concept. A sacrifice does not call the shots. A sacrifice does not say, here's what I want to do. I'd like to be offered as a sacrifice, but Lord, I want my cross to be soft. Lord, I want to be offered as a sacrifice, but please make my cross air-conditioned if you don't mind. I've gotten quite accustomed to it in hot weather. I want my cross, but I'd like to have it in a comfortable place if you don't mind, with a nice office, a plush office where I can sit and reside with my own computer there. That's what I want. Burger King philosophy, have it your way. The Lord says, we'll not have it my way. If you look at Hebrews chapter 2, it tells us that we have a confession of our faith. A confession of our faith is made because we have witnessed what God has said to us, and we have said like the people of old in the Old Testament said, all the Lord says we will do. Not, well, that sounds good, Lord. I'm going to take that into consideration. We'll have a business meeting over it, and we'll make some decisions, talk about old business, new business, insert your ideas, and we may come up with some alterations, and then we'll do what we want to do. No, you'll have it God's way, or you won't have it, because He's smarter than I am. Like the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are His ways than my ways, His thoughts than my thoughts, you'll do it God's way. And so that's one of the things that bugs us about religion today, is people want to do religion their way. I want to entertain my way. I want it to be a fun type of thing my way. I want to know what your church is going to do for me my way. And the Lord says, you'll have it my way, or you won't have it at all. Sacrifices don't talk back. And we are a living sacrifice. And that's something that occurs, being a living sacrifice, by having a renewal day by day. Having a renewal day by day. Same passage. Just like the beautiful sun arises day by day. Just like your body cleanses bacteria from it day by day. Even so, as a Christian, I wake up this morning and say, I'm going to serve God today. Tomorrow morning, start it all over again. I'm going to serve God today. Not based on any past laurels that I've accomplished, but I'm going to serve God every day. I have to make that same decision. What if I had a bad day? You ever have a bad day? Now, I'm trying to become like Jesus, right? That's my goal. I want him to grow. Who has not had a bad day? Have you ever had a bad day so much so that you feel like not only the devil won, he beat you, but he probably knocked you out in the first round and he's standing on top of you right now with his foot on your throat and laughing. You ever have a day like that? You want to just go ahead and give up? Because you say, with a day like that, I don't even know if I should even pray to God. He's probably not even aware I'm here anymore. He probably gave up on me around noon today when the devil was winning. You ever had times when you just fell into bed and said, God, have mercy on my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever had prayers like that? Where the devil beat you up that badly. So what do you do? Wake up tomorrow morning and say, might as well not try today because the devil won yesterday? Absolutely not. Today's a new day. Like the one person said, I will bleed for a while and yet I will fight you again. That's what you do with that old devil. And so I get up the next morning and I'm ready to go back to war again. Ephesians chapter 6. Got on my breastplate of righteousness and shield of faith and sword of the Spirit. And I've got the helmet of salvation, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with preparation of the gospel peace. And I'm ready to go to war again. The devil's not going to beat me 2 days in a row, is he? Not with God on my side. And I'm growing. I'm growing through doing all those things. Well, moving real quickly. Functional goals. How do I fit in? And like I said, I talked about that some a month ago, so I don't want to spend much time with that. But how do I fit in? And there is a way I can fit in. You know, not everybody preaches, not everybody teaches, not everybody leads singing, but there is a way to fit in. I know there's a role that I can have in every congregation that I'm part of. I know I'm part of a body, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 22. Every part is important. Everything does works differently in your body. Different finger doesn't work the way the toe does. And so Romans 12, 3 through 5, we all have different parts. Everybody does their share, Ephesians 4, verse 16. And we want to grow as a Christian inside the Lord's church. And we understand that. We want to determine what we should do. We want to develop what we should do as we live the Christian life. And then finally, our congregational goals. Every congregation I know of in the Lord's church says we want to grow. Every prayer I've ever heard, not every prayer I've ever heard, many prayers that I've heard, people say, Lord, help us to grow. And then what do they say? We want us to grow spiritually and numerically. I've heard that and I've prayed that. How's that supposed to happen, by the way? Through osmosis? Now, I know of some Nashville churches where one of the big churches there became more liberal, and so they split up, and half of their members started going out to all these other places. Well, when you have a church of 3,000 to 4,000, you're going to have a lot of members going out. And so some of these other congregations are just giddy with joy because they doubled overnight. We're growing out here. No, you're not. That's like taking money out of one pocket and putting it over in the other. You're not growing that way. That's not growing. Growing can only occur through one thing, getting the right program, right? Never have yet heard of a program that worked. Not one program that ever worked. Never has been, never will be. Now, you can write that down. Programs don't work. You know what works? People work. People work. And you can have no program, or you could have 100 programs, but if you've got people working, the Lord's church grows. And here's another thing. If I'm growing as an individual in the Lord's church at Hickory Knoll, the church cannot help but grow. It's impossible for it not to grow. Because when you get everybody growing spiritually, everything else just kind of takes care of itself. Because as I'm growing spiritually, becoming more like Jesus, I'm going to talk to more people about Jesus. And we're going to invite more people to come here. We're going to see more people obey the gospel. And that's a wonderful thing. And so the church grows in that way because I'm growing as an individual. And so we grow with our behavioral goals, becoming more like Jesus. Our goals as far as us fitting into a congregation, what we're striving to do, what we're trying to accomplish in that way. And that's our functional goals, and then also our congregational goals, growing numerically, spiritually, and in every way as we're trying to be pleasing in God's sight. Well, again, you can take a lesson like this and you can say, well, that's another good lesson, Brother Fox. Or you can say, you know, I'm going to do better. I really am. I'm not saying people are doing bad. I'm just simply saying we can do better. There's room for improvement, and I'm confident in all of our lives. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be a stronger Christian. And let me give that exhortation to you this very day. This morning, of course, becoming a strong Christian is not going to be possible until I become a Christian. So this morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel, and the gospel is the good news about Jesus, so you can't obey facts in one sense, but that gospel is contained inside the doctrine, the form of doctrine, Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 and following. And so I want to obey that form of doctrine. I want to be a believer in Jesus Christ, John 3:16. I want to be willing to confess that He's the Son of God. That's my confession that He is the Son of God, like Peter said in Matthew 16:16. I want to turn away from my sins, just like in Acts 17, verse 30, God commanded all men everywhere to repent. And I want to be willing to be baptized into Christ, to have my sins washed away as far as the east is from the west by the cleansing, precious, atoning blood of Jesus. Acts 22, verse 16. When Paul was told by Ananias to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, that's what it meant, that baptism through the blood of Jesus would wash away his sins, making me a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. This morning, if you need to give your life to the Lord, to be obedient to His will, become a child of God, John 3, 5, we pray that you would do that very thing. If you'd like for us to have prayer with you about anything in your life, needs that you have, we've had different ones who have done that this year, and this is a congregation that believes strongly in prayer, and we're thankful for that. If you need to respond to our Lord's invitation, but we invite you with all the love in our heart, with prayers that we have in our heart, to come to our Jesus now. Let's all stand and let's enjoy singing together.